Our text for this morning is taken from Matthew's Gospel, the 11th chapter, beginning with verse 12. Jesus said, "From the time of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been advancing forcefully, and forceful people are seizing it. In fact, all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. If you are willing to receive it, he is the Elijah who was to come. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." Thus far the text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Make us holy through the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Think about your hand. Does it exist? Now, you may look at your hand and say, well, yes, it exists. I can see it. I can feel it. I can pick things up with it. But what if you couldn't? What if you couldn't see your hand or it were paralyzed and you couldn't feel it or feel with it or pick things up with it? Would it be any less real? "I think, therefore I am," said Descartes. Is reality simply a creation of our mind? If I decide that you don't exist, or that this world doesn't exist, does that make it so? Now, from a philosophical point of view, reality is kind of complicated, isn't it? It's a mix of what we can sense, of what we think, of what we have all around us. It's what we live in. It's what we're used to on a day-to-day basis. When Martin Luther was growing up and in his younger years, reality for him and for many people of his day, especially those associated or that were in the church, reality was a desperate need, a desperate thought of not knowing whether or not when you died, you would go to heaven. And this need that was there, this doubt that was there, was actually created by the system that the church had made, a system that they caused people to work more and more, or to buy indulgences, or to pay money to the church so that their dead relatives wouldn't have to spend as much time in purgatory. Now, aren't you glad that we don't think that way? Aren't you glad that our hero, Martin Luther, got rid of all of those false teachings? It's okay to call him our hero, right? We are Lutherans, after all. But are we any different? Are we different from the church of Luther's day? If our reality is limited to what we can think, then the answer is no. The only way that on our own we can conceive of achieving any kind of good standing with God is by doing good works, because we're constantly trying to appease an angry God. Our sinful, limited human minds are no better than the church of Luther's day, a church that needed reforming, a church that needed a new reality. And a new reality is exactly what the kingdom of heaven makes. The kingdom of heaven, in fact, changes the world. That's what Jesus means when he says, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been advancing forcefully." Now, he doesn't mean that God was running through, plowing people over, or throwing them aside like rag dolls in a tornado. He was talking about the power of God's word. John the Baptizer preached that powerful word. Jesus himself, of course, preached that powerful word. And what happened? People were changed. Their hearts were changed. Their very reality was changed. People were changed from depending on themselves, their own works, or their money, or whatever else. They were changed to trusting in Jesus alone for their salvation. This faith, this trust was worked in them by the Holy Spirit, working in and through that very same word. And that new reality, that same reality, is what took hold of Martin Luther when he diligently studied God's word. God allowed him to see that this righteousness that he was trying so hard to attain couldn't be won because it had already been won by Jesus Christ. That righteousness, the good standing with God that he was looking so hard to attain, that righteousness actually is given by God because of the work of Christ. And when Luther started sharing that good news, a major change in the church was underway. And not only was the church in line for a new reality, actually the entire world was. You see, because the world thinks that you achieve something good by doing good, that you achieve heaven or some higher status by doing good works, well, that logic is turned on its head by the fact that that righteousness comes only through faith, by Christ alone. The kingdom of heaven has been advancing forcefully, and forceful people are seizing it. Does that describe you? Are you a forceful person who is grabbing on to God's kingdom with all the gusto that you can measure? We have to avoid a wrong understanding here, though. Jesus isn't saying that we have to exert ourselves to grab hold of God's kingdom. What he's talking about really is the result of God's kingdom advancing forcefully, namely that it brings about a radical change of heart. Or maybe I should say that it brings about a heart transplant. When we're born, our spiritual hearts are dead. They have no life in them at all. That's why David can pray in Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." He knew that the heart with which he was born, in fact, with which he was conceived, is dead. It has no spiritual life. It can't bring any spiritual life, and so it needs to be replaced. Now, this knowledge that we also have about ourselves doesn't come naturally to us. Only God in his word points out our utter sinfulness. He tells us that all of the good things, the supposed good things that we do, our righteous deeds, they're like filthy rags to him. He looks at us listening to false teachers, telling us what we want to hear, and he condemns us on the spot. He laughs at us when we rebel against him and think that we know how to run our lives better than he does. He has every right to say to us on the last day, "Depart from me, you accursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Our reality, apart from God's grace, is hell. But that same reality-changing word that causes us to lay hold of God's kingdom is what brings us life. In the precious waters of baptism, God drowns us, but then he makes us alive. Paul says in Romans, "We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." In faith, then, we cling to Jesus as our Savior, as the one who has rescued us from eternal death, who has given us life. And this is our new reality. "He who has ears, let him hear," Jesus said. After Luther heard God's word, he didn't stop. He kept studying God's word. He kept digging into God's word. Are we following in those same footsteps? Are we constantly seeking out new facets of our new reality so that we can stand firm no matter what happens around us? Are we making the most of every opportunity to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest God's word? Are we serious about relying on God's word and his kingdom as our new reality? Now, it's rumored that Descartes met his end while he was at a restaurant. He had just finished up his dinner. The waitress came around and asked him if he would like some dessert. And he said, "I think not." And poof, he disappeared. Now, the reality that we have in God's Word is the polar opposite to that of Descartes. The God of the Bible, the God who simply is, has given you a new heart. He has worked in you new life. He has given you new reality. Rejoice in that reality always. Amen.